Going Linux, Episode 87, Computer America, Number 21. I'm Larry Bushy, the host of Going Linux.
And I'm your co-host, Tom. Going Linux is an internet audio program, a podcast, for computer users who just want to use Linux to get things done.
Whether you are new to Linux, moving from Windows, or just thinking about going Linux, this audio program will provide you with practical, day-to-day advice on how to use your Linux computer. Our goal is to help make the Linux experience easy for you.
Each month, we publish three episodes. We begin the month with a listener feedback episode. In our feedback episodes, we read listener email, play listener-generated audio, and answer listener questions.
On the third Tuesday of each month, I appear live on the Computer America radio show. We post those episodes, minus the commercials, as Going Linux episodes.
Our user experience episodes appear near the end of each month. In them, we normally take 2 months to explore a topic related to Linux. During the first month, we introduce the topic for new Linux users and recent converts.
During month two, we discuss the same topic from a more advanced perspective for computer users building their confidence and competence with Linux. This is my 21st appearance on the Computer America radio show from December 15th, 2009.
It's America's longest-running national radio talk show on computers, Computer America, hosted by national columnist Craig Crossman. Look for Craig's weekly column in your favorite newspaper. This show is being beamed nationwide by the Business Talk Radio Network, the Lifestyle Talk Radio Network, and on the internet at ComputerAmerica.com. Keep it here for technology news, computer products, guest interviews, and your phone calls. You're listening to Computer America.
Hello and welcome into the Computer America show. It's the nation's longest running nationally syndicated radio talk show on computers. It's Tuesday, the 15th of December, 2009, and I'm your host, Craig Crossman.
I'm your co-host, Carrie Holzman.
And where did December go? Boy, halfway there. Christmas just around the corner.
That's right.
And it is going to be a busy night. We certainly have our winners of our Computer America contest all set up, ready to go. We'll be announcing those tonight. And we're also going to be announcing our new contest tonight as well. So it's going to be a busy night here at Computer America, Carrie. So let's get right to it and introduce our guest. It's an all Linux night show tonight because the Linux operating system continues to be more and more popular, especially in the wake of Microsoft's, Vista and then, of course, 7, although that seems to be making up a lot for Vista. But, it's an important operating system, Linux is. And so every third Tuesday of the month, we devote the entire show to Linux in order to answer your questions like that. And if you have a Linux question, tonight's the night for you to give us a call. Joining us is our Linux expert, Larry Bushy. He is the creator and host of the Going Linux podcast. Hey, Larry, welcome into Computer America. How the heck are you?
I am the heck really good.
Well, hey. That's a heck of a good thing to know.
That's right. So, another Linux show before Christmas. That's great.
Yes, it is. Another Linux show. It's the last Linux show of the year.
Yeah.
But of course, going into January, we're going to continue on the fine tradition because Linux is so important. I know we've got some emails, and I know that you'd like to pick topics. Tonight's topic is going to be Linux and open source for the holidays, okay? And also we have emails and everything. And why don't you explain a little bit what open source is all about so for people who might not still be familiar with that, okay?
Okay, well, open source is it's difficult to explain in a few words, but if you think about Firefox, the web browser, that is an open source web browser that is given away for free. And open source typically is software that you don't have to pay for, that's developed by professionals, much like Firefox is developed by the Mozilla folks. But you don't have to pay for it. And why do they provide software that you don't have to pay for? Well, it depends on the product. You know, if you're Google and you're giving away software, you pay for it by ad revenue. If you are Firefox or Mozilla and you're giving away Firefox, you get paid through various means, not the least of which is in every version of Firefox, there is a little search thing right up there, very close to the URL address bar, and you can change your search from Google to various other things. But every time you use that, it's considered ad revenue, and you know, the Mozilla folks get some credit from Google, if you're using Google there, for using their browser and using their search. So open source software, there's various sorts of it, and Linux is one example. And Linux, of course, is an operating system, an alternative to Windows, and it is, in most cases, the vast majority of cases, free.
Now, when would the exception to it not being free occur?
Well, there are two definitions of free. One is without charge, right? The one we think about when we say something is free. And then the other means freedom of speech, that kind of free. And something that is open source may not be free of charge, but it is more than likely going to be free as in speech. So what that really means is, without having to provide for the fact that most companies are going to want to copyright things or trademark things, or they're going to provide some sort of proprietary measure to ensure that no one has the ability to copy what it is they're doing. They have their proprietary IP, intellectual property, tied up in legal knots so that you can't, or if you do, copy it, you end up being sued or fined or both, and maybe even going to jail. Well, with free software, as in freedom of speech, open source software, it is free from the perspective that you, the owner of that software, are free to copy it. You are free to give it away. You're free to distribute it to other people. You're free to contribute back to the software itself if you're a developer, or if you can provide suggestions for improvements. You're free to modify the software. And all of that is from the perspective of freedom of speech. But some companies that produce free software or open source software will charge for it. They are making a profit, obviously. Or maybe not so obviously, but they are charging for it, and that's quite acceptable in the open source world, is to provide a software package that is free as in freedom, but to charge for it. On the other hand, if you sell a piece of software that is licensed so that it is free as in freedom, the purchaser of that, no matter how much they paid, is free to distribute it however they see fit. They can give it to somebody else. They can give it away for free. They can make as many copies as they want and give it away to as many people as they want.
What does all this have to do with the holidays?
Well, I'm glad you asked. Well, if you are on a budget, and who isn't these days, or worse still, if you are out of work, you may be searching around for gifts for people, or maybe you've just given up on giving away gifts for Christmas because you can't afford it. Well, there are many things that you can do for Christmas or for any other holiday at this time that would be gift-giving season, and that would be to provide somebody with some open-source software. It wouldn't cost you a dime, and if you are fortunate enough to be able to afford to give gifts, there's nothing saying that if you've got a geek on your Christmas list or your Hanukkah list or your Kwanzaa list or whatever list you're on, you may just find that giving the gift of Linux is something that would warm the cockles of a pure geek's heart. So that's something you may want to do, is consider purchasing a gift that involves Linux and giving that to someone
Linux
who would
is
appreciate
free.
It.
How do you purchase Linux if it's free? I'm still a little, you got me a little confused.
Okay.
And how do you know who's appropriate to give that to? Because what are the telltale signs that that somebody may be a good fit for Linux as a gift?
Okay, well, let's see. If they come on to the Computer America podcast every third Tuesday of the month, that might be somebody who would qualify.
Yeah, but then they'd know what they were getting. There'd be no surprise.
That's true. They may just have listened to this particular show, but let's assume they haven't. Yeah, if you've got somebody who talks about Linux, who goes on and on and on incessantly about Linux, and nobody around here does that, they might be someone who would appreciate a gift of Linux, and I will describe in a minute or two how you can provide them with a gift that has some value other than you know, downloading a free CD or mailing away for a free CD and giving that to them. But if you want to give of your time at this holiday season, you could certainly provide somebody with perhaps a new lease on a computer that may be overridden with viruses and spyware, and with their permission, of course. Never give a gift without of Linux without asking someone's permission to do that. But you could install Linux on that computer, wipe out all the viruses and spyware that they have by replacing that Windows operating system with the Linux operating system, and then they will have some insulation against viruses and spyware, and that Linux operating system could breathe new life into a computer that is maybe an older computer or one that they have just purchased a few months ago and now have spyware and viruses that they just can't get rid of, and they've already taken into the geek guys, and they just can't they can't do anything with it because every time they clean it up, a month or two later, it's full of viruses and spyware again. So that may be one way to do that.
Now, I did have a client recently who had a computer that was down. I think it was a Gateway computer, and they're not, you know, they use the computer, but they really don't know much about it. And they called me and said, "Hey, can you help? We're having a problem with it."
Mm-hmm.
And I said, "Well, do you have your original Gateway disk? Because from what you've described, it sounds like you're going to need a reinstallation, and you could save the money and do it yourself just by following the instructions that come on the disk and just be sure you backed up any data beforehand." And he said, "Well, I can't find the disk."
Yeah.
I said, "Well, if you know anybody who has a Gateway computer, their disk should work, provided it's the same version of your, you know, if you've got the Media Center Edition, get the Media Center Edition disk, and you should be fine." And he says, "All right, I'll call you back if I can't find it." Well, he couldn't find anybody that had a disk, and he said, "You know, what would it cost me to get it fixed?" You know, and I said, "Well, maybe you can call Gateway and ask them for a disk." And I said, "Well, why don't you just bring it by and let me take a look at it, because maybe it's none of that at all. Maybe you've just got a dead hard drive." And sure enough, he brought it over, and it was a dead hard drive. So not only did he need the disk, he also needed a hard drive.
Yeah.
And these are folks that are saying, "Well, we don't really have any money. We certainly can't afford to go out and buy another license of Windows. We've already got the sticker on the back. We have a license. We just don't have the disk. Plus, we need a hard drive." And it seems like an easier option would be to install Linux, but how likely would they be to be happy with it, you know, that it would suffice all of their needs?
Hey, Carrie, I don't mean to interrupt, but we got a caller who's coming on here. I know we kind of defer to this. We got a caller. His name is Link, I believe it is. Computer America, Craig Cross, is your name Link? I'm sorry, I can't read here.
Yes, it's Link.
Link, hi, Link. Welcome to the show. We're doing our Linux special. You have a question for Larry?
Not much of a question at all. Actually, Larry asked me to give you guys a ring.
Well, then we'd be engaged if you did that.
because I run a particular open source project. How you doing, Larry?
I'm doing great. Yes, guys, I asked Link to give a call in because, as we were just mentioning, this is the Linux and open source for the holidays, and Link is the creator. First of all, I have to say that he's a fellow Linux geek, just fair warning, guys, and he is also one of the hosts of the Linux Link Tech Show, which is an internet-based audio program, and Link is also the founder, I guess you could say, of a a website that after the commercial we will reveal to our audience. How's that for a cliffhanger?
All right, this is the Computer America Show on the Business Talk Radio Network and the Lifestyle Talk Radio Network. It is all Linux. We're going to continue on with Larry Bushy, and we'll keep our caller, their link, on. Carrie will take it back after this. This is the Computer America Show. Stay with us.
And we're back with the Computer America Show. We're live on the Business and Lifestyle Talk Radio Networks. This is our Linux show. We do the topic of Linux for both hours tonight, as we do on the third Tuesday. Is it the third Tuesday already? Yes, it is. The third Tuesday of every month. And joining us, of course, as always, Larry Bushy, who is the host of the Going Linux podcast. And we have a caller on the line, and his name is Link. And I'm sorry, Larry, we had to interrupt you. You were saying... You asked Link to call in, and you were describing who Link was.
Yeah, and in this holiday season, we're talking about giving gifts, and Link is here to talk about giving the gift of Linux. And I wanted to mention his website, which is freelinuxbox.org. And Link, would you just tell a little bit about how folks might want to use this website to give the gift of Linux this holiday season?
Absolutely. As Larry mentioned, the website is freelinuxbox.org, and how this started was probably, I had heard this odd request maybe two or three times until the very last time it was mentioned by Bethlen Eicher, who happens to be one of the people in charge of the Ohio Linux Fest. And what that request was she and other people had talked to me about wanting to be able to give their old Linux boxes away to other people who may need them, you know, or may want them to practice on or to learn on or what have you. You know, whether or not you can't figure out how to install Linux yourself, or you're just financially incapable of having another machine to learn Linux on or whatnot. You know, we all, as a lot of us computer geeks, happen to have, you know, an extra system or two laying around that we use for project boxes and things like that. And we all got together and thought, what a wonderful idea it would be to have a website where, if you happen to have something like that, you could offer it to someone who wanted one, who needed a box for free, basically. You know, they pay shipping or you pay shipping, however you want to work the deal out. So I wrote some quick software for this website and set it up at freelinuxbox.org, and basically that's what it is. You can, if you have a spare machine, you can go to this website and place what amounts to an ad, a free ad, for other people to see. And if they want this computer, you can, you know, offer it to them and work out a deal for shipping, however you'd like to do it. And it's just a way for you to, you know, give the gift of Linux, pretty much.
Well, that's a neat idea, but what's it would seem to me you'd have a lot of people... more people wanting computers than computers were available, even if, you know, there's some crafty people out there who think, hey, free computer, and I don't want the Linux part, I'm going to take the computer part. I guess there's nothing that stops them from doing that.
No, there's nothing that stops them from doing that at all, but it's just, you know, your own goodwill.
Yeah, and is there any sort of a lottery or how are requests handled? Because, again, I would imagine that there may be people trying to get two or three of them. How do you handle ensuring that there's enough to go around? I guess is what I'm asking. One person or a few people don't try and manipulate the system, if you will, for their own personal agenda.
Well, I'm sure that there's a possibility for that to happen. However, I haven't really been inundated yet. But really, the website is based on an on your honor type of system, and all the website does itself is provide an ad space, and all the details are worked out between the giver and the receiver. So you can, if you're the giver, you can quantify that any way you'd like to.
So give us an example of what an ad might read, and if you're a giver, why you would select one ad over another.
Basically, they're just a generic ad, like you would say.
But I mean, are there any tips you could give people that might make them more appealing to the givers to select their ad, to choose them?
That definitely is the problem. Isn't a problem with what you put in the ad. Generally speaking, they just put a generic. You know, I have this computer or this laptop, and it's this speed and memory and hard disk, and I have Linux installed on it, or FreeBSD, by the way, or, you know, some other open operating system.
Oh, these are the givers who are putting the ads.
Right, the givers put the ad. They put their own computers up that they want to give away, and they describe them however they want to. And they also say whether they will or will not ship them, you know, if they prefer somebody local to pick them up, or they will consider shipping and you know, on the site it says that the receiver is responsible for the shipping costs unless the buyer, you know, decides that they are going to pay the shipping costs.
So the site is primarily to enable people to do a good deed, to find...
Sure, it's a good deed site, kind of like a Linux Craigslist sort of thing.
There you go.
I was thinking Craigslist. I didn't say anything. I was thinking it. But
yeah,
unfortunately, like I say, we do live in a society, and it's often this time of year where, you know, you can see the beauty of giving and you can see the ugliness of greediness. And I was just asking those questions because I was curious if there were any systems in place to prevent abuse. Hey, listen, we're going to take another break. And by the way, it sounds like a wonderful idea. I'm certainly not opposed to it. I just, you know, I always think of that negative side. We're going to take a real quick break. Link, stay on the line with us. I'd like to carry you over just one more segment here and wrap up with you. And if you've got a question, call us toll-free 866-606-TALK or join us in our chat room at computeramerica.com. It's 34 minutes after the hour here on the Computer America Show. We're broadcasting live, as always, from coast to coast on a station near you, and of course around the world through the internet at computeramerica.com. You know, I heard they had that internet for computers now, so I'm pretty excited about that. The little Homer Simpson quote for you. The website, I'm over here at freelinuxbox.org, and I'm not exactly if I'm not using it right. I'm there. It says you can search by country, state, province, territory, zip code, city. And whether or not you want to look for pickup only or shipping, and I just left it on the defaults, which is any country, any state, any zip, any city, any type, and I hit go, and I don't see anything. Are there no items being offered?
There's nothing there, right? Well, since the site is a way for you to donate your unused computer, what happens is as soon as anybody donates something, they're usually gone within a couple of days. Doesn't take very long.
How many computers has Free Linux Box given away so far?
Somewhere around 20.
Fantastic. Well, listen, I think it's a great idea for the holiday season. Unfortunately, people won't get the tax break that they would get if they were to donate it to a charity, if you will. However, I'm sure there's a lot of people out there who could benefit from this, and a lot of people out there who may have an extra box laying around, an older one perhaps, that maybe Linux is the only thing that would really run well on it, and it'd be a great item to put up there to help your fellow man and in your community. And
you still get the warm and fuzzies from it, right?
Sure, absolutely.
That's the important part of giving. And also, one of the big things that you get out of giving on a site like this is if you're already using Linux and you're already using open source software, you understand that a big part of open source and Linux is the community, okay? And when you're a member of that community, you want to help out your community that you're a member of, and this really does help your community. You're giving this this Linux away to somebody else so that they can learn about it, so they can enjoy it, so that they can, too, become a member of the community. And it sort of fosters that spirit along.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea. The website, freelinuxbox.org, we'll put it in our show notes tonight. And any other final thoughts you'd like to leave with us?
That's it. I just, you know, I hope that some people really avail themselves of it. There's a lot of people that look at this site. I know every time I stick a computer on there, within 2 days it's gone. Mm-hmm. And that goes for just about every other machine I've seen on there, too. I've seen a couple that were really, really low-end machines, and they took a little while to go, but they did go. You know, so there
I have no
people,
doubt.
Yeah, there
the
are
price
people
is
that
right.
are listening that are looking for something to use. And you know, even if this is something where you're donating the computer away to another Linux user who could use it for, you know, a server or something like that to learn on, you're still getting something accomplished by doing that. So by all means, the site and share your old hardware that you're not using.
It is no doubt ecologically sound. It is it puts out the right spirit for this time of year, and hopefully the rest of the year. We don't have to have this spirit just in this time of year.
Yeah.
But the idea that you're offering that and you're not disassembling it or putting it out to the curb, which is not good for the landfill, it's a great idea, and I hope it becomes a regular thing that you guys do. And I wish you much success with it.
And Link, thanks for coming on the show. I appreciate you taking the time to
absolutely
spend a little bit of time to talk about it. In this time of giving, this is what this website is about, is the ability to give. And thanks for helping us to enable that, Link.
All right, thank you guys very much.
All right, this is the Computer America Show on the Business Talk Radio Network and the Lifestyle Talk Radio Network. We're going to just break for 60 seconds, and then we'll continue on. Toll-free 866-606-TALK, live at ComputerAmerica.com or our chat room at ComputerAmerica.com. It's our all-Linux show. We'll continue on with Larry Bushy right after this. 60 seconds.
40 minutes after the hour here on the Computer America Show, broadcasting live coast-to-coast on the Business and Lifestyle Talk Radio Networks. This is our all-Linux show, both hours. The topic is Linux. Hey, what nationwide radio program is talking about Linux? Not enough, that's for sure, and that's why we make sure that we always do a show once a month on Linux. And as Linux grows in popularity and the need for more information becomes abundant, well, we'll be obviously doing it more often. All right, so let's see, Larry. We're talking about Linux, obviously, and we're talking about purchasing, giving Linux as a gift this holiday season. I believe what I was asking it was how you determine whether or not somebody would be a good, if that would be a good gift for somebody, and how to make that determination. You know, who's the right recipient for this kind of a gift?
Well, there are two kinds of right recipients. One is the geek, and we described some possible geeks that you might find in your family. Somebody who is the gadget person, or somebody who is the computer fix-it guy in your family that everybody in the family goes to. So that might be one type of person who would appreciate a computer with Linux on it or something related to Linux. And the other kind of person is the kind of person who has the ideal person would be someone who is just getting into computing, who has not tried anything, hasn't tried a Mac, hasn't tried Windows, and just wants a computer to start using the Internet, or has heard about this email thing or Facebook thing and wants to get in on it and wants to learn how to use a computer but doesn't want to spend, you know, $1,000 for a low-end Mac or even a few hundred dollars for a low-end PC. And you just want to get them started with something. Linux is a wonderful way to do that because a browser is a browser, an operating system is an operating system. An operating system just runs your computer and gives you the ability to use some of the applications. The browser being the primary one for someone just learning to use a computer these days. But the other advantage of giving Linux to someone just starting out is Linux comes with almost all of the applications that a new user would want, a word processor, a mail client, the browser, of course, and many other things like drawing programs and...
Did you say graft or graph? Okay.
Graft, no. I was thinking of graph paper. That
oh, graph paper. Oh, yeah, okay, okay.
Drawing.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so, and games. Lynx comes with some games installed on most of the distributions as well. So that would be a great way to start someone who doesn't want to spend a lot of money or you don't want to spend a lot of money on them and get them started with in the area of computing and to be able to do it safely because Linux is an operating system that doesn't have any viruses or spyware written for it. Certainly there are potential security issues with Linux as there is with anything else. A user needs to be cautious on the Internet, but you are much, much, much less likely as a novice user to end up inadvertently getting a virus or spyware when using something like Linux. So that's the other ideal person. And, of course, anybody is a potential user of Linux. And if anyone has ever expressed an interest in maybe trying it and you have the wherewithal and the means to give them a gift of Linux, it doesn't just have to be a computer.
Hmm. Yeah.
What other options are there?
Yeah, well, if your Linux geek in the family already is using Linux, they might appreciate some Linux-compatible hardware, like printers or like scanners and that sort of thing. And I am, in the show notes, going to provide you with a link, a series of links, actually. One would be the hardware compatibility list that we have on the Going Linux website, as well as some of the entries from that list, like external storage devices that would be compatible with Linux, portable media players, printers, scanners, those kinds of things. So some accessories for the Linux computer they may already have. But that's not all.
Uh-huh.
They could also... benefit from a Linux phone.
A Linux phone?
Yeah. Have you heard of Linux phones before?
You're talking about, well, obviously the phones have a little mini operating system running inside of them, but you're saying...
Yes, they do. And the majority of them these days have something called Symbian.
Yeah, I was going to say, most of them are Symbian. Yes, exactly.
Yeah, that's about half the phones out there worldwide, I think. Mm-hmm. But Linux, have you heard of the Android phone?
Of course. Who hasn't?
Yeah, that runs Linux.
Well, there you go.
Android is based on Linux. So if you've been seeing those Droid ads on television or you've been looking at the Google phone or several of the HTC phones, the Hero, for example, they are running an embedded Linux distribution that's designed for use on cell phones. And I'll provide a list in the show notes again for a list of Android phones, and there's quite an extensive list. And it's a link to Wikipedia, and they've got a list of Android phones, Android devices on there. And there's also a link I'm going to provide that gives you an idea of the market share of these various operating systems. Of course, Symbian has the lion's share. RIM comes in number two, and Apple iPhone is actually number three. You might think it would be number one with all the publicity it gets, but there's a lot of phones out there, not smartphones, that might be using the Symbian operating system. And Windows comes in number four, and then Google's Android comes in as number five in terms of market share. And then the Palm Pre also runs Linux. So there are plenty of phones out there running Linux already, and you can give them as a gift.
Wow. Well, there you go. Linux in places that you never suspected.
You bet.
Yeah. Well, we're going to break, and we're going to continue on with this. Everything you want to know about Linux and more, and the open source as well. And we're going to read some emails, too, a little bit later on in the show. We've got some more winners coming up here on the Computer America Show. Stay with us. We'll be right back. if you're just joining us, it is our All Linux show, All Linux Tonight, and Larry Bushy is here with us talking about Linux, specifically kind of focusing on Linux and the open source for the holidays. When we come back, I understand you have some emails for us as well. People
I do
ask
indeed.
Questions.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. So anything we want to wrap up here for the first hour, Larry, that we didn't get to?
I think we covered everything that I had in the show notes related to giving away Linux, with exception perhaps of some computers that would be pre-configured with Linux. You might want to buy one for yourself or buy one as a gift, and we'll have a list in the show notes of those. But Dell provides them, a company by the name of System 76, Emperor Linux. And I've also got in the links some lists of various other vendors that you can choose from if those three don't suit your fancy.
The gift of Linux for the holidays. Now, it's, of course, on the computers, it's fairly evident it will be right on the box. It's going to say it. However, if you want to give the gift of Linux in a cell phone, that's a little bit more hidden, isn't it, as you discussed, because you don't really know. It doesn't. They don't brag about the fact that we're running on Linux, right?
No. They're trying to market them based on the merits of the phone and the nice features that it has, and comparing themselves to the iPhone, of course, as the smartphones are wont to do. But
yes.
You know, there are plenty of them out there. The G1, for example, or several of the HTC models. And
well, the Droid made a really splashy opening with those that series of commercials.
Oh, yeah.
I have not had hands-on with the Droid, but I know a couple of our users in the chat room, matter of fact, have the Droid, and have been praising, extolling its virtues.
Oh, that's good to know. I haven't seen one or held one in my hands, other than seeing them on the commercials on television. They look nice.
Yeah.
I'd like to give one a try. That's for sure.
Well, Kerry just likes his little flip phone, and that's it. He doesn't want anything complex.
Yeah, I've heard Kerry talking about his phone that is just a phone. I mean, can you get by with that these days?
I don't know how you could get by with having a computer, having emails coming in every 2 minutes, and having to go through layers of menus to get to.
Yeah, it's self-control.
Yeah, you can turn all that off and control that.
Yeah.
Hey, speaking of self-control, I'm going to exercise some of that before we get back on the show. And then we're going to announce the next three winners of our Computer America giveaway. We got emails from you who have written in to Larry about Linux. We'll get into all of that in hour two of the Computer America show. Stay with us.
Hey, everyone. This is Link from the Linux Link Tech Show. Have you ever wondered how you could help open source? Well, I have a great idea. You can donate your old computer to someone in need and give the gift of Linux. All you need to do is make sure you have Linux installed and running on your old machine and head on over to freelinuxbox.org. Again, that's freelinuxbox.org. And thanks for listening to this great podcast.
Live, it's the only national radio talk show on computers to air every weeknight, Computer America, hosted by national columnist Craig Crossman. The first hour's behind us, but there's still more of tech news, tech talk, and your phone calls. We're being beamed nationwide by the Business Talk Radio Network, the Lifestyle Talk Radio Network, and on the internet at ComputerAmerica.com. You got computer problems? Bring them on. You're listening to Computer America. Computers run the world, and we run computers. Call us toll-free, 866-606-TALK. That's 866-606-TALK. Or send us an email to live@computeramerica.com.
Hello, and welcome into hour two of the nation's longest-running, nationally syndicated radio talk show on computers. This is the Computer America Show, and I'm your host, Craig Crossman.
I'm your co-host, Kerry Holzman.
And it is the third Tuesday of the month, and where we devote the entire show to the topic of Linux. If you missed the first hour, we certainly archived the past 3 weeks' worth of shows at ComputerAmerica.com. You just hit the listen button. You can download it. Or if you have podcasting software, interact with the our XML page. Have it interact with that page, and it will automatically download it for you, or go ahead over to Apple's iTunes keyword Computer America and subscribe to it there as well. Larry Bushy is the creator and host of the Going Linux podcast. He continues on with us in this second hour of the Computer America Show, where we talk about Linux, Linux, and more Linux. The general topic for discussion, of course, is Linux and open source for the holidays. However, if you have a question, you certainly can reach us toll-free, 866-606-TALK, 866-606-8255, if you want to call us. Live at ComputerAmerica.com is our email address, or the chat room at ComputerAmerica.com. Easy to get to. Larry's in there as well. It's right there at the homepage at ComputerAmerica.com. So, Larry, this, of course, is also our last Linux show of the year.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. It's just a... Aww. But we'll certainly continue on into the new year as well.
Yay.
So I know we have some emails and the people have written in. Do you want to take one of the first emails in this hour?
Sure, we can do that.
Okay.
And I would much prefer to get some callers calling in and answering questions live, but that's why we bring in the emails.
That's all right. Let's make sure we get that. Let's get that number out there one more time for our listeners. 866-606-TALK, 866-606-8255. Please don't wait till the last minute to call.
Oh, yes, please don't.
Question.
Oh.
Yeah, now's the time to do it.
Now's
call
the time.
Right in now.
Yeah.
Okay, but in the meantime, we do have some questions that people have posed to us by way of email. And on the Going Linux podcast, my co-host is Tom. And Robert has a question about Windows licensing, so why is he sending it to me and Tom? We'll find out in a second. He writes, "Hi, Larry. Hi, Tom. I stumbled upon your podcast about 2 months ago. Since then, all my computers are running Linux. I have found that Mandriva seems to be the most stable with my hardware, and Mandriva is the distribution that I am currently running. Your podcast really helped me out getting started with Linux. Thank you so much."
You know, I just want, when I read that email, it's how he starts is, you know, "I stumbled upon your podcast about 2 months ago." Okay. Then it's like, since then, all of a sudden, all my computers are running Linux. Poof.
Like magic.
Right.
Like
what is
magic.
Up with that, you know? Okay.
That's a little holiday magic right there in a box.
So okay. you listen to the podcast, the Linux podcast, and all of a sudden, there you go. Poof, your computers are running Linux.
Yes. So he writes, "I have a question. Although it is a Windows question, my laptop is set up in a dual boot configuration, Windows and Mandriva. And for our listeners who aren't familiar with Linux and the dual boot terminology, that is a way of installing Linux alongside of Windows so that when you start your computer up, from being powered off, it gives you the choice of which operating system you want to use. So Mandriva that Robert is talking about is one of the distributions of Linux. His question is, if I have a licensed copy of Windows running on my hard disk, could I also use that license to install Windows in a virtual machine in Mandriva on the same computer? I called Microsoft, and all they told me was you can only run a license on one computer. Technically, the hard drive installation and the virtual machine installation, so I'm assuming he's using something like VirtualBox or something like that. He says, technically, the virtual machine and the hard drive installation would be one computer, and therefore I would only be using one license on one computer. But if Microsoft considers the virtual machine to be a separate computer, then it seems like I can decide it's not legal. Even though it is really only one license on one computer, seems like a gray area. What do you think? It sounds legitimate to you guys. I certainly don't want to go ahead if it's not legal. However, I get the feeling that Microsoft doesn't want to give me a straight answer on this because I think they are not too crazy about having Windows running on a Linux operating system in a virtual machine. Well, thanks again. You're a wonderful podcast, and I will be looking forward to the next episode. Sincerely, Robert.
I think that if he's writing on a virtual machine, Microsoft wants payment, he should send them virtual dollars.
Wow, that's wonderful. That solves that question right there. Next email.
Yes.
Well, and this is a Windows licensing issue, and I'd like to hear, Kerry, from you on this. But
I think it's pretty clear.
To him,
you think it's pretty clear, Kerry? What's clear? What you think? Kerry thinks it's pretty clear. Could you elaborate?
Yeah, I don't understand why there's any confusion here.
One license.
You've got one license. That doesn't mean you can install Windows over and over and over again. You can't install Windows inside of 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 Windows in a virtual machine and a virtual machine and a virtual machine. As I understand it, what you're doing is you're sort of taking advantage of how you want to interpret that. To me, it's one license of Windows. That's what you're buying. You're buying one single copy of Windows. It's that simple.
Regardless of what you install it on.
Yeah,
right.
It's one copy.
And that was my answer to him as well, is that legally, I believe that Microsoft would, and I'm certainly not a lawyer here, but I think Microsoft would be well within their rights to say the virtual machine is a machine. Okay, mm-hmm. It's virtual, but it's another computer.
So the code is virtual. Let's face about it.
Right.
Code is not something tangible that you can touch. So because the computer nothing says the computer has to be something tangible that you can touch. As long as it's running, look, all code is the Windows and everything. It's codified thought. That's what programming is. It's codified thought. Something that you can't put your finger on. You can't touch it and everything. And a virtual machine basically is the same thing. It's a codified processor. It's something that's virtual. But it doesn't make it any less the fact that you're using the codified thought. And if you use the codified thought more than on in one area, wherever that may be, then you're exceeding the licensing. That's what it is.
Exactly. And I suspect that, although Robert doesn't say it in his email, what he's trying to accomplish is he's trying to be able to run Windows and Linux at the same time. I have that set up on a computer at work, as a matter of fact, where I am running a Windows machine and I have Linux running in a virtual machine. And that's perfectly legal because unlike where you're when you purchase a copy of Windows, you're not really purchasing it. You are licensed to use it. And with Linux, you are purchasing it. You're purchasing the ability to use it, give it away, as we described in the first hour. Mm-hmm. But that would be one thing that he could do, is do it the other way around. Instead of trying to install Windows in a virtual machine on Linux, and if you wanted to be completely legal about it, use your Windows machine, install VirtualBox or another virtual machine of some sort on Windows, and then run Linux inside of that, and then you can switch back and forth between the two operating systems. And if you just want to install Linux and Windows on the same machine and you don't want to use them at the same time, of course, he mentioned that he has a dual boot configuration right now, but that would be a way of doing it. Install them side by side and make the choice as to which one you wanted to start up when you start your computer. So it sounds like we're of like mind here. If you have it on more than one machine, virtual or
otherwise,
real life, it's still another machine.
It's another copy.
Yep, exactly. Okay.
So, Robert,
go. Now, that being said, if Microsoft activates it, you're good to go. If you can get it activated, good for you. Otherwise, you can look forward to just installing it, running it for 30 days, and then reinstalling it again and running it for 30 days. As long as you have Service Pack 3, of XP, or if you're running Vista or Windows 7, the license allows for a 30-day trial period, which you're more than welcome to wipe out and reinstall and create a new 30-day trial period.
Sure.
The Microsoft police are not going to come knocking on your door and check to make sure every, I is dotted and every T is crossed with regards to their license agreement. But if what we're talking about is morality, then according to Microsoft, if you want to abide by their conditions that they detail in the end user license agreement, you just have one copy of Windows that can be used for, in most cases, up to a two-CPU system, which doesn't mean you can have one CPU in this system and one CPU in the other one.
Right.
Because you'll often see that right on the license, the certificate of authenticity. It'll say Windows XP-2 CPUs. That means it'll see or utilize up to two CPUs. And actually, I think since a Windows update, it'll actually see up to eight or something. Like, I don't really know what the limit is now, but the Windows XP Home initially only worked with one CPU, regardless if you had a dual core. But back then, people didn't have dual cores. The only way you could have two CPUs was if you had a special motherboard with two CPU sockets. So that update fixed that particular problem where it'll work with one CPU regardless of the cores. Anyway, the bottom line is if Microsoft will activate it in the way that you want to use it, I'd say you're good to go. If Microsoft will not activate it, obviously you've got your answer that way as well.
Right, and just exploring this a little bit further, what do you think about this possibility? You purchase a computer, it has Windows on it, you use some sort of tool to take that copy of Windows that came on your computer and convert that, I understand there are conversion tools for this, convert that to a virtual machine, then wipe out your complete hard drive on that hardware machine, install Linux, and then use that image that you've created of your hardware machine as a virtual machine in a virtual machine software inside of Linux.
Yeah.
Do you think that's kosher, or do you think that's still...
I don't know why that would be a problem. Why do you anticipate that to be a problem, and where do you see the issue potentially being?
Well, it's still a different machine. You know, you're not running it on the same hardware
it was provided on,
right? And you may be running...
Well, wait a minute. You are running it on the same... Wait. Maybe I misunderstood the statement. I thought you were saying the hardware is not changing. You're just putting Linux on.
Yeah, the hardware is the same. The configuration of computer is different, though.
Yeah, I don't think that would be a problem. You're still running one copy of Windows on the same machine that it came with. I don't see that as being an issue.
Maybe that's the loophole.
I don't think it's a loophole at all. I think it's it makes sense. I mean,
okay.
Far be it for me. I'm not Microsoft's attorney, but that makes perfect sense to me. I don't see why that would be a problem.
All right.
This is Computer America. It's our Linux show. We'll continue on. Stay with us. It's 25 minutes after the hour here on the Computer America Show, 866-606-TALK, the toll-free number, live at ComputerAmerica.com or the chat room at ComputerAmerica.com. Larry Bushy continues on with us, creator and host of the Going Linux podcast. And right now, we're reading some emails that were sent to Larry. And Larry, you want to continue on with us?
Sure, we can do that. We have an email here from Jim, who wrote, "Good day. I have some questions for you." They all start that way, don't they?
Yeah.
To start, I am a violent dabbler at Linux.
I was trying to understand what he meant by a violent dabbler.
I'm not sure, but he says, let me explain.
Okay.
So let's see if he explains. He says, "I have been working with OpenSUSE. I don't pronounce it OpenSUSE. I pronounce it OpenSUSE." You have to understand, in the Linux world, names are very difficult to pronounce.
Well, I've heard people say, is it Linux or Linux? You know,
yeah.
So,
well, if you're from Europe, you're more than likely to pronounce it Linux, and if you're from here, you'll pronounce it Linux.
Tomato, tomato.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And he says he's been using OpenSUSE for about 2 years now. "I am no stranger to the command line. I have invested a significant chunk of my time this summer to getting off the ground and on my feet with Linux. I have a problem. Since school started, I am a college student, I have used Windows, Vista, then 7, and I really like Windows. No ranting or other foolishness yet. Let me explain. I am studying engineering, and all my software is written for Microsoft Windows.
Mm-hmm.
Titles include AutoCAD, MS Office 2007, and iTunes. Not by my will, the iPod Touch just doesn't like working with other players. I can't find suitable alternatives for these. Yes, I am aware of OpenOffice, and I have worked with it extensively, but until it gets a ribbon, I consider it a second to Microsoft Office."
A ribbon?
a ribbon. Mm. Yeah, the new interface on Microsoft's latest versions
has the ribbon.
Office have a ribbon instead of a menu, and many people like that. Many people curse it, and looks like Jim is one who likes it.
Mm-hmm.
He also says, I do use Songbird for music. Songbird is an open source media player. It reads off NTFS with no issues and plays MP3s out of the box without installing encoders or other madness, but Songbird, by no fault of its own, cannot sync with the iPod Touch. I just need a compelling reason to continue using Linux.
Try a Zune.
Windows is easy, Windows looks good, and Windows runs what I need. I don't get viruses. I have had no Windows 7 issues. Anyway, it's time for some hardcore Linux preaching. By the way, I really like your round table episode about the GNU license. The format is excellent. Thanks, Jim. And that round table episode he is talking about is about a year and a half old, so you have to go back in the Going Linux archives to pick that one up. But we had some Linux podcasters together for a round table.
Well, there you go. So obviously, people like listening to the older episodes. That's kind of nice.
We'll answer Jim's email after the break.
All right. This is the Computer America Show, and we will answer Jim's email after the break. This is the Computer America Show. It's all Linux tonight. Stay with us. It's 34 minutes after the hour here on the Computer America Show, 866-606-TALK, the toll-free number, live at computeramerica.com or the chat room at computeramerica.com. And just before the break, Larry was reading an email from one of the listeners of the Going Linux podcast. And now is a time for Larry to respond to the email.
Yes, and the email was from Jim, who has been trying Linux, and he
wants a compelling reason to continue using Linux, even though he says he loves that Windows is easy, it looks great, it runs what he needs, he doesn't get viruses, and he said no Windows 7 issues, so all these things are positives. So he's really, really looking to you with arms outstretched, you know, saying, please, give me a compelling reason why to continue using Linux.
Well, one thing you might first of all, I don't have a compelling reason. If you're happy with Windows and you really want to run Windows, use Windows. I'm not going to try to switch somebody who's happy with Windows. Now, if on the other hand you want to try Linux for a reason and you have a reason, and that may be you don't want viruses and spyware, and you don't want to continually pay for upgrades to the software that used to run on your hardware, but now, you know, you've bought a new Office suite and it won't run on the current version of the operating system you have, then you might want to try Linux because it gets those applications updated when the Linux operating system gets updated as well. And the other thing that would prevent Jim from using Linux on a day-to-day basis is the specialized Windows software that the publishers of that software will not write for Linux, and that would be AutoCAD in particular. And if his media player won't work with anything but iTunes, then he's got to use iTunes, unfortunately for him. Either that or switch to another media player. On the other hand, Office. Jim says he likes the ribbon. I see in the chat room that many people don't like the ribbon on the new version of Office. But if you do like the ribbon, or you do think that OpenOffice and Microsoft Office 2003, which OpenOffice kind of looks like when you first look at it, if you think they look a little dated, then the folks behind OpenOffice are working on an update. And rumor is that it will maybe not have a ribbon, but it will have a different kind of user interface that maybe is even more intuitive than the ribbon. And it will definitely have a new look, and it will definitely be optimized a little bit better so that it runs a little faster and all the other tweaks and things you would expect with a new release of a new software package. So if OpenOffice were the only thing holding him back, I'd say just wait a little bit. But AutoCAD is one of those programs that is so specialized. It is specifically tweaked and designed to run on Windows, and I'm afraid if that's what you're going to be using in that engineering career that it looks like you're embarking on, I think you're locked into Windows.
There you go. Well, Jim, I guess the compelling reason is not forthcoming.
Nope.
But I think you have some sage advice there from Larry. I think it certainly makes it. I mean, you know, let's not force, you know, a square peg into a round hole. If you're happy with it and it's all doing what you need, you know, nothing says that, you know, you need a compelling reason to switch. If you're happy, why, you know, stay there.
That's exactly right. And, I mentioned in the first hour that you should never give the gift of Linux without asking someone's permission. And what I meant by that is, and this is kind of goes hand in hand with this email, is that you don't want to install a Linux on someone's computer as a gift without their permission.
No proselytizing. Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. You want to make sure that it's something that they want or open-minded about. Hey, we're going to break just for 30 seconds, and we'll continue on with these emails. We've got more winners for our contest here at the Computer America Show. And, of course, the contest is on in full swing. Just head over to ComputerAmerica.com and get yourself entered. This is Computer America, back in 60 seconds. Stay with us.
40 minutes after the hour, we are live on the Business and Lifestyle Talk Radio Networks. It's our All Linux Show, talking with Larry Bushy, the host of the Going Linux podcast, a free on-demand audio podcast you can download and listen to at your convenience. Put on your MP3 player, burn it to a CD, listen to it in your car. However you'd like to listen to it, even just right over your computer speakers, it's very easy. Right now, Larry's going through some emails answering Linux questions from listeners.
Actually, before he does that, this is something forgot to mention, and certainly important. We have that special click-free automatic free offer from Click-Free that we're doing that ends on the Christmas.
That's
December
25th. Right, buy one, get one free.
Right. There was a technical glitch. You know, we've had many, many people call and email us and comment on the show that it was not accepting the coupon code of Crossman, and the buy one get one free for the cable wasn't working. Well, it wasn't, and as of today they have fixed it, so it is now working. So what I strongly suggest is you head on over, click on the Click Free Automatic Backup logo that's right there at ComputerAmerica.com, the top of our homepage, and check out the offer that Click Free is doing. We were talking about giving the gift of backup, and not only give the gift of backup to someone, but also give it to yourself, because when you buy any one of those four products, the 250 gigabyte C2 or the 500 gigabyte C2 or the transformer SE or a transformer cable, you get a free transformer cable valued at $60, and they're just doing it for the next few days. So it's an exclusive offer only to listeners of Computer America. And again, our apologies that we had so many of you want to do it, and then they went over there, and it was so frustrating because it was not operating correctly. It wouldn't register, wouldn't work, but they fixed it as of today, so it is up and running.
And just as a reminder, and I'm going to speak very slowly, you cannot go to the ClickFree website and find this offer.
Nope.
You cannot go to any website and find this offer other than ComputerAmerica.com and the links we have in our show notes, and directly the link we have posted at ComputerAmerica.com will take you there. And that's where you'll find these offers. It's the only place on the web you'll find these offers, and it's restricted to Computer America listeners only.
Yeah, they can go to clickfree.com/computeramerica. That will work that as well. But just head over to computeramerica.com and click on the ClickFree exclusive free offer right in the upper left-hand corner of our homepage, and that'll take you right there to it. And that's the way to get to it. So I just wanted to mention that. I should have mentioned it in the first hour, but we got taken up with all the different things happening here, so I want to make sure that everybody knows about it. So now we continue on with Larry here and our emails. Larry?
Yes, I am here, and what a fortunate bunch we are with that click-free offer.
Yeah, isn't that cool?
It's a great deal.
Yeah, very good. Exclusive bunch, just like you said.
Yes, it is.
Shall we go on to another email?
Sure.
Let's do it.
Okay, so Chris is one of our listeners who wrote us with a problem. He says, maybe Craig or Carrie, you can answer this one. He says, I hope you can help me. A few days ago, I set up a NAS, which is network attached storage, and he gives the model. It's a Synology, yes, DS109J, and he set it up for his movies. My desktop, Ubuntu 9.10, saw it immediately. I could open the network in Nautilus, which is the file browser in Ubuntu, and I expanded the Windows network icon, and I could see the NAS. Then expand that and mount the folders. Right-click the folders and select mount. It showed up on my desktop. Life was good. So what he's saying there is he was able to see his network-attached storage device and browse the folders in it.
Mm-hmm.
He said on Tuesday, December 8th, very specific, the Ubuntu updater installed a bunch of updates, including kernel updates. Later, I tried to open the network and didn't see anything. I clicked on the Windows network icon in Nautilus, and it gave me a failed-to-load share message. I surfed the net on my netbook running Windows 7, looking for a solution. I was able to open the NAS from Windows 7 and play the movies from the NAS with no problem. Found some Samba commands. Samba is a networking protocol that allows Mac and Linux and other operating systems to use the Windows share over a network. He said, I found Samba commands to show the network drives and went to my desktop. Without doing anything, the Windows network now showed my netbook and the NAS. I tried to open the NAS, but it won't. I don't know if the problem is the kernel update bug or is a kernel update bug or if it resets something or turns something off. Google searches have shown similar comments from last year and no fixes. I could see any idea. Thanks, Chris.
Mm-hmm.
I know Synology has excellent tech support, and their product, presuming he's purchased it recently, the tech support's completely free, and they make some great products. I've never used Synology. However, Maximum PC Magazine just did a review of the 409 Plus, and we gave it one of the highest marks they could give for the review of any product.
Nice.
Well, that's good. I haven't used Synology, and I have used other NAS products from other manufacturers, and many of them actually run Linux on the NAS itself.
Sure.
But
I believe Synology does.
Yeah. Now, I am a little stumped on this one myself because I have had this same problem, and my recommendation for a workaround to Chris was this. If he goes into the command line and types find SMB, that will show the IP address of his network-attached storage. Mm-hmm. And if you type SMB:// and then the IP address and then another slash, that will allow you to browse to the NAS device in Nautilus directly. So this seems to be the equivalent of a DNS issue. There's some sort of translation from the name of the device to the IP address that it's searching for. And when you type in the IP address directly, it works like a champ. And I have just created a bookmark or a shortcut in my file browser to my NAS device that is just the IP address, and I use that.
Sure.
I haven't found a solution to this on Linux, and I'm just kind of curious, since I'm not really a networking guy, is this kind of a DNS address issue, or any ideas? I'm puzzled.
I'm going to stick with my original answer. I'm going to say you gave Synology your money, and I would put the blame and the results of asking how to fix it back on Synology. There's well over 100 different manufacturers of network-attached storage devices out there, and it really sort of baffles me when a customer spends their hard-earned money for a printer or a scanner or, in this case, a NAS, and they go someplace else when they have a problem.
Right.
And I've even had customers that called me right after buying a product who never even tried to call support. Now, this letter doesn't mention if he even tried, because they've had such a bad experience, such a negative technical support experience, they just don't want to do it. And my advice to them is take the product back. If you buy a product that their technical support is discouraging, don't make that. Don't let that company profit from your hard-earned dollars, and then put the put your weight of your problems onto somebody else. Now, we're here to help, and we'll do what we can to help. Unfortunately, when we talk about very specific pieces of hardware like that that aren't ubiquitous, they're not common, not everybody has it, unfortunately, we don't have sort of a, you know, an atmosphere of everybody writes everything the same and we all follow the same rules. These companies do things the way they want to do them, and there may be a firmware update that fixes that problem, or there may be a configuration option that needs to be checked. And the only people who are going to know that are the folks over at Synology.
Yeah,
especially if they explicitly say that they support the Linux operating system, I would have no hesitation to do that.
Yeah, hold them to it.
Yeah, I suspect that this is a Linux issue, quite frankly, rather than a NAS issue, but they may have the solution for it. And so,
if anybody would,
yeah,
they would be the first people that would know the answer.
Right. And just on that topic of support, we've talked about support for Linux in the past, and since we're talking about giving, possibly giving Linux computers as gifts, to give a Linux computer that has Linux pre-installed on it, it comes with support. So if you're looking for support, that's a great way to get it.
There you go.
Good to know.
Yes, it is. All right. Well, good luck to you, Chris, on your problem. And if you do solve it or you hear it, you know, obviously contact us. Let us know or contact Larry.
Sure. With us. We'll start with everybody else.
All right. This is Computer America. We got another winner coming up. Stay with us. So, Larry, I guess your wrist must be sore from all that drum beating. But
yeah, my shoulders are sore. Yeah.
That's exactly. So tell us about what's going on the next episode of Glowing Linux Podcast.
Well, we have an advanced episode of something we introduced in our last user experience episode, and that is gaming on Linux. And I mentioned last time that my my co-host has been slaving over a hot computer, sacrificing his time, investigating all these games.
What a rough job.
I really appreciate his hard work. Yeah.
There you go.
So we'll have an advanced episode on running games in Linux for those hardcore gamers that just want to run their Windows games under Linux. For some reason, I don't get it. They just want to do that. But hey, there you go.
And they can listen to the podcast where?
You can listen to it on iTunes, or you can go to the Going Linux website at goinglinux.com.
There you go.
And subscribe there.
And Larry, thanks so much for being with us here on our last Linux show of the year, and we'll catch you next year. So until then, you know, have a happy new year. We'll catch you in January, okay?
You too. Yes, you bet.
All right, take care. Good night,
Matt.
Bye-bye. Coming up tomorrow night, Aiello Technologies is going to be joining us again, talking about their brand new System Mechanic version 9.5. They just introduced it. It's open. It's available. They're going to be on the first hour. And then in the hour two, it's going to be Dick DiBartolo, the GizWiz, Mad Magazine's maddest writer. He's going to join us and talk about some of the crazy things that he finds on the Internet. That's going to be in hour two. So looking forward to that. And that about wraps it up. Don't forget to check out the click-free offer that we have at ComputerAmerica.com exclusively for our listeners. It's right there on our homepage. So until tomorrow night, this is Craig Crossman.
The opinions you hear on the Business Talk Radio Network are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of this station, Business Talk Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Business Talk Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. Investing involves risks. Please consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about the Business Talk Radio Network, contact us at 203-323-7300 or at our website, businesstalkradio.net.
Theme music provided by Mark Blasco at podcastthemes.com.
Hey everyone, this is Link from the Linux Link Tech Show. Have you ever wondered how you could help open source? Well, I have a great idea. You can donate your old computer to someone in need and give the gift of Linux. All you need to do is make sure you have Linux installed and running on your old machine and head on over to freelinuxbox.org. Again, that's freelinuxbox.org. And thanks for listening to this great podcast.